Great Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And now here is Matthew Cray.
Welcome into Substation 2. As they said, my name is Matthew Cray, not Manning Kimmel, but when Manning Kimmel is away, the kids will play. So today's show brought to you, as it is every day, from Substation 2, right across the street from Winthrop University, brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders, and Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Well, sitting across the table from me, we have Patrick Hamilton, the Pennies for Progress director, and like once every 2 months we bring Patrick on to break down his favorite substation sandwich.
Exactly.
And he'll break them down piece by piece. No, Patrick's here to talk about roads, and most importantly, sitting to our right, as we said, we're across the street from Winthrop University, and there's some construction going on Cherry Road that's been going on for some time now, and we're going to really dive into it. But for starters, I'm going to ask what everyone probably asks you on the phone in person. When's it going to be done?
When's it going to be done? That's the number one question. Hopefully in 2 to 3 weeks. We've been hit a little bit with the weather lately. The contractor had some plant issues last week, some electrical problems that was preventing them to be able to produce the amount of asphalt that they normally can, so that put them back a little bit. They are paving, they're finishing up today the fourth mainline lane, so that only leaves the middle lane left, which they will hopefully, if it doesn't rain, they'll start on tomorrow and finish up early next week. After that, then they'll get into the side roads and tie in all the driveways in.
So this construction, it started. Remind people when it started.
I think late May, early June of this year. And that's a good point. Yeah, it's been about 6 months or so. But I want people to understand the amount of work that we had to do to Cherry Road. It was in terrible, terrible condition. We did some preliminary boring work before we bid the project out to determine, you know, what kind of structure is out there, what kind of subgrade are we working with, how much existing pavement is out there, and there it wasn't a whole lot of structure out there. So we hired a geotech firm to do that for us and make a pavement recommendation to us of how we should build the road back. And ultimately it was decided between the county and SCDOT that we were going to dig down the road 13 inches, put 9 inches of concrete back, and then 4 inches of asphalt on top of that, all while trying to maintain the 30,000 vehicles a day that travel on that road.
So you upended the road, and I'm sure many of you will remember when you're driving along Cherry Road and there's a big dip off to the side back in August or September, mm-hmm. that you upended the road, and then you came back and you added, that was 9 inches, you added mm-hmm. 4 inches of pavement on top of that?
Yeah, they're finishing up the last 2 inches now. So it was 9 inches of concrete, and then they did the mainline surface, 2 lifts of asphalt after the concrete.
Okay, so they did the first level of asphalt, and then they finished that, and now they're coming back with another layer of asphalt. Right. Why is that?
That's the final surface. A is to get a little smoother ride, to have that second lift of asphalt, and also to have more of a structural value, to be able, by having almost 4 inches of asphalt, that, you know, allows the road to be able to handle all the heavy trucks that come on it. So when you develop a pavement design, there's a certain structural criteria you have to meet. So the 9 inches of concrete, the 4 inches of asphalt was able to achieve that structural number based on the number of vehicles, the number of trucks that travel the road each day.
Now, I know outside, as I was coming in, they're finishing up that fourth lane, so the four driving lanes, but the middle, the turning lanes, if you will, are some of them are still incomplete. What's the process there?
So the turn lanes, it's just, they'll come back hopefully starting tomorrow if it doesn't rain on us and start paving that middle lane. Then obviously they'll have to come back and stripe it out for the turn lanes and the median area. But there has been a few concrete islands that were added. One of them's right here in front of Winthrop to allow pedestrians to have a safe refuge when they're trying to cross the street.
Now I know a lot of people have been asking about the intersections, and if you're crossing from one side of Cherry to the other, you got the ba-dum,
it's ba-dum, a little bumpy.
And it's bumpy. You got to go slow. When will the intersections be done?
That'll be done after the mainline pavement. Obviously, you have to pave the main line first, and then come back and tie in out the side road. So that'll be done immediately following the mainline paving.
Now you started the show with the fact that there had been a delay, whether it's to weather or the plant had some issues. Explain what that means to people.
So typically, if the plant, the contractor has a plant here in Rock Hill,
okay,
which is good. I mean, it's close to the job site. So they can get trucks running all day long. So basically, the paver doesn't sit still waiting on a new truck for that long. Well, when the plant was down and having issues, it couldn't produce the amount of asphalt needed to be able to keep that paver moving all day long. So they weren't able to produce as much asphalt, but then not as much work can get done out on the street. So because of that, they did start some intersections, I think further down on the southern end of Cherry Road, because they weren't able to produce enough asphalt to do the mainline paving. They did start on some of the side roads.
So how many side roads intersections did they get done, or if you had to guess?
I think it's a handful. I haven't ridden the whole job to see exactly, but they were able to get a handful done down on the southern end of the job.
Gotcha. And so from here on out, as you said, you're looking and hoping for second week of December?
That's what we're shooting for. A lot of that depends on the weather. Again, the chance of rain tomorrow, I think it's only about 50%, so hopefully they'll be able to do some more mainline paving tomorrow. Obviously, they won't work the rest of the week with the holiday, and they'll jump back on it first of next week.
Patrick, before we started the show, I made a list of the jobs that I wouldn't want to have, and I started with president, and that's because I can't make those decisions. I'm not built out to be a president. But even if you're president, you know, you got half the country on your side, mm-hmm. half the country against you if they were to elect me. Yep. I couldn't be a referee in a sporting event, especially at a high level. They're always being criticized for what they do. Oh, yeah. No one ever loves a referee. And then under that, I put pennies for progress director. I mean, have you received a lot of calls?
it has its ups and downs. You know, you never can get a job finished fast enough for the public. And I get it. I drive these roads there every day, too. I sat in traffic on Cherry Road on my way over here today. But we do ask for some understanding and patience. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day. The roads can't get fixed overnight. But we are working on them. We do have a funding source through the pennies program. The citizens continue to vote for that program, so we do have projects that we are on the books to do and complete. So, yes, we never can get them done quick enough, but we are getting them done.
So hopefully by the middle of December, Cherry Road from Alumni Street up to Cherry Park D Street will be complete. What about the other half of Cherry Road? Is that just in better condition? Is that something you want to do in the future?
It was in better condition. The worst spots that we looked at were the section that was chosen on pennies for. So to my knowledge, there's no funding for anything north of our project.
So if there were to be a second Cherry Road repaving, it would have to come on a pennies 5?
Pennies 5, or unless the DOT had some, it came up on their rankings to be able to do it.
I just know, at least visually and aesthetically, you see this nice half of Cherry Road, mm-hmm. and the other end may be structurally sound, but now it doesn't look as nice.
Certainly.
It's because there's more wear and tear. Well, that's one project. That's the big project. Another project that got underway recently was construction on the Gold Hill Road I-77 interchange.
Yes, that is a big one. A diverging diamond interchange on Gold Hill I-77, the first diverging diamond in the state. The good news about that one is that the majority of pretty much all the work will be done at night. Obviously, we didn't want to impact traffic during the day up there. Traffic's bad enough, especially in the morning and afternoon peak hours. So there were stipulations in the contract that the lane closures could only occur at night. And on this project, there is about $2.5 million in federal funds. So that's a little bit of an assistance to help the pennies program fund that project. So because of that, the DOT is managing that project completely. But they have shifted some lanes on I-77 and also shifted some traffic on Gold Hill Road to be able to start working on widening the bridge. The bridge will be widened to the north to be able to account for some additional lanage.
And you're doing that at night because of the mass traffic
Correct.
Outflow during the day. And I'm sure it's still probably causing some headaches at night as well.
It is. I mean, it's still an active job site. There's going to be barrels out there. They shifted traffic, so it's a new driving pattern for the folks to adjust to. But again, working at night, no lane closures during the day, is just an effort to try to minimize the impact. Of course, it's going to be an impact of traffic. But that's the necessary evil of roadway construction. Same thing with here on Cherry Road. It's been an inconvenience for a while, but you know, ultimately is how the project will be when it's finished.
And in layman's terms, a diverging diamond will cross you over to the side of the road where you're getting onto the interstate before you actually do, so you'll never have to make
Correct.
A turn across traffic.
Exactly. That's a very good way. So whenever you're making a left turn to get on the interstate or even get off the interstate, you don't have to yield to any oncoming traffic. Currently, you have to wait for a green light to turn left or yield to oncoming traffic. There won't be any of that. You'll already be on the left side of the road, so you can make a free flow movement to get on the interstate, which should greatly improve the efficiency of the interchange itself.
And this is a big project, and in a sense, you're paving the way for South Carolina because it's never been done before. What is the timeline, the proposed timeline for this?
The contract completion date is June of 2021. So just about almost a year and a little over a year and a half from now.
and it takes that long just because of the not nuity, that's not a word, but the new type of project or the mass scale that a diverging diamond
is? It is the scale of it and being able to having to widen that bridge to the north. The bridge over I-77 will be widened to the north, some additional lanes, so that's going to be the bulk of the work. And a lot of the reason that it's taken as long as it will.
And so we have that project, and then we talked about South Carolina 160, the widening of that up to the North Carolina state line. Where do we stand with that?
That project is actually doing very well. They are looking to shift traffic here in December. They've built essentially, that road is going to be widened essentially all to one side. So they're able to work on the new portion of the road without impacting existing traffic. But they almost have, they've gotten all the curb and gutter installed, asphalt's down, storm drainage, sidewalk. So once they shift traffic onto the new pavement, then they'll be able to work on the other side of the road, work on the storm drainage, the curb and gutter, the asphalt, and all that. So that project is actually coming along really well. There's been little to no utility impacts, which that's another thing that the public is good for them to be aware of, is utility delays happen on a lot of our projects. But on the 160 project, we've had almost no utility delays. I've gotten zero phone calls on that project.
Would you dare to say that you're ahead of schedule, or do you not want to jinx it?
Well, I don't want to let that cat out of the bag yet, but we are doing very well, I will say, schedule-wise.
Tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah,
I see.
So, and like I said, that's due to the minimal to no utility delays. Like I said, I've gotten zero phone calls from the public complaining about that job, which is, you know, that's a pretty large project, and for me to get no calls, that's a good thing.
And also for that one, remind people when it began and when it's supposed to be complete.
That project began earlier this year. It's a five-lane widening, picking up from just north of Gold Hill Road and taking all the way to the North Carolina state line. Contract is scheduled for a September of 2020 completion date.
All right, and now moving on to a project that I'm pretty sure was completed very recently, McConnell's Highway.
Yes.
And I know you guys, during the process of that project, ran into some hiccups. What happened? Where are we?
The project is complete.
It's complete.
Traffic's open. However, you will still see barrels out there alongside because the contractor still has some punch list items to come back and do. But for, you know, all intents and purposes, the project is done. It's been substantially complete. Again, this was another one where we had some substantial utility delays earlier on in the project. Probably it caused about a year delay just from a utility standpoint. And then the contractor also added some additional delays of his own doing. So it was completed, you know, later than we originally wanted and hoped to. And I did get many, many calls on that project, deservingly so, because that one was pushed, you know, took a lot longer than it should have to be complete.
And from what I understand, there were delays, again, for utilities. There were delays because I guess the contractor spread themselves a little too thin and didn't expect this project to take as long.
Certainly.
And you guys had to charge back to them, right, to find
we
them?
We did. So when a contractor bids a job, he bids it based on the schedule that's set out in the contract. So he's expecting that job to be finished relatively close to the closing date. So when he was delayed by a year to utilities, you know, he's already trying to gather up work for when this project's done for the next project. So that year delay really hurt him. They were stretched then, so we extended the completion date due to the utility delays. However, he still didn't meet that completion date. So we charged $1,400 a day and ended up, completion date was April 30th of 2019, and the substantial completion was September 27th, 2019. So it was over $200,000 that he had to pay back to the county for being delayed.
And so financially, where did you guys end up with this project?
We ended up to the good. I think it was about a $9 million bid, maybe. And we're going to put, don't quote me, but I want to say around $800,000 back in the bank.
So in the green.
So in the green, yes.
Gotcha. Well, we're going to step aside and take our mid-program break. On the other side, we got this big Carolina Panthers ordeal that might affect some traffic. But for now, Straight Talk is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax. You're with Founders. It's brought to you by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. And as I said at the start of the show, we are live across the street from Winthrop University at Substation 2. Fresh subs and salads sliced every day right before your eyes. And how was it done?
Slice.
Garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
what's hot at Substation 2? The new hot beef brisket sandwich. Brisket is smoked tender beef, sliced to order, served hot and delicious, and gardened your way. This is a limited time offer, so titillate your taste buds today with a hot beef brisket sandwich at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Relax. Love your car payment with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. If you're ready to buy your new car and start making those unforgettable memories, Founders features an easy online application, flexible terms, low rates, 24-hour account access with Founders Online, and fast, friendly service. Visit Relax, join Founders.com or one of our more than 30 offices to see if you qualify for membership. Relax. Love your car payment with Founders. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
There are very few genuine money managers in America, and one just happens to be your neighbor. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see what a money manager can do for you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
Good Pharmacy, building trust for four generations.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. Enjoy our spacious new modern look and take advantage of Rock Hill's original drive-thru with pickup and drop-off service.
My mom loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
Just like people, no two hearts are exactly the same. That's why Piedmont Medical Center's new, expanded team of cardiovascular specialists collaborate on an individualized care plan for every heart they encounter, from preventative treatment all the way through surgery and rehab. Their easy-to-navigate care system provides compassionate, personal attention from their passionate team of specialists. You're in good hands at York County's Heart Hospital. To make an appointment with one of our cardiovascular specialists, visit mypmcheart.com or call 844-870-1499 today.
To improve diplomatic relations with the U.S., Substation 2 was given the authentic Cuban sandwich recipe, and now we're serving it. It's Cuban pork on our fantastic subbread, topped with ham, Swiss cheese, dill pickles, and mustard, served hot off the panini press. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
Welcome back into Straight Talk. My name is Matthew Cray, not Manning Kimmel. Filling in for Manning Kimmel today, I'm with Patrick Hamilton, the Pennies for Progress director, and we've been talking about roads, roads, and more roads. Patrick, last night I was down at City Hall in Rock Hill, and for about an hour and 45 minutes, it was all about the Carolina Panthers and rezoning for their new team headquarters, and Bill Meyer got up to talk, and he was talking about, you know, there's going to be a new interchange off I-77 into the facility, and there might need to be some other road improvements. How does this play into what you guys do?
Right, so this ties right in along one of our projects. We have a project along Mount Gallant Road between Dave Lyle and Anderson that's scheduled to be a three-lane widening. We are trying to finalize the plans and get those into DOT for review in the next week or two. But this does cause a little bit of issues with the Panther site. Obviously, when we designing our project, we didn't know this huge facility was going to be there. So their traffic study shows some additional improvements along Mount Gallant Road outside the scope of our project. So I've met with them a few times trying to determine, you know, the best way to build a project once and not have to, you know, build it and come back and tear stuff up and redo it. So we're in the middle of those discussions now, just trying to, you know, best use the funding and not try to do any duplicate work.
And I know John Black said something similar last evening where he's saying, you know, we don't want to build it, tear it up, and have to do it again. We should try Certainly. And be forward-thinking when it comes to the roads. But when you have a project like that and you have a scheduled start date and then along comes the Carolina Panthers, how does that affect how you're approaching that project?
Cautiously. So we're still moving forward with our final plans and submitting those to DOT. And probably in December, early January, like I said, I've already had a couple of meetings with the Panthers and kind of told them our outline and our schedule. But probably first of the year, I'm going to need to know something. Are we going to change something? Does the county just need to move forward with our project and the Panthers will do their stuff later? Do we need to try to marry the two projects together? So those discussions have been happening for the last few months already. But coming up in a few months is when we're going to need a hard decision to be made.
Now, I know with the new interchange, RFAT's approved the plans to send to DOT. Again, how does that play in with what you guys do? What role will you have?
As far as the interchange with the Panther site, I really won't have any involvement in that.
Gotcha.
Yep.
But I know that it was talked about that with this new interchange and these new roads and this, again, whatever, $2 billion project, they're going to be 50,000 trips a day, 50,000 cars, and that's more people in York County. Does that affect your project?
Right, yeah. So this is a mega development, huge development. That's why it's getting its own interchange off the interstate. It is projected about 75% of the traffic for that site will enter and exit through the interstate off I-77. So that does help the side roads, but that's still 25% of 50,000. It's going to have an impact on our roads. So whenever we design our projects, we do try to look 20 years into the future. Of course, we don't know every development that's coming, but we do a standard growth rate to project out for 20 years. So we try to account for any developments that come in the future.
And this will also give you guys another outlet for I-77.
Certainly. You would like to think it would help the Dave Lyle interchange, the Cherry and Celanese interchanges, giving folks an alternate route, an alternate exit to be able to get off the interstate.
I talked to David Hooper on Friday at the RFAS meeting, and the understanding, or what I gathered from the meeting, is that York County is experiencing a level of growth that no one else in the country is mm-hmm. experiencing. Are you guys kind of have to be pioneers? Or I know you're not guessing, but...
No, it's not guessing, because we look at kind of historic trends the last 5 or 7 years. What has traffic done the last 5 or 7 years? And then we kind of look at the any known developments in the area of the project. And then, there is a good bit of speculation when you're trying to project out 20 years into the future. That's just, take a guess. But we do try to do an educated guess as best we can.
So all in all, with the Panthers, it will affect your other projects, but as it comes with the road improvements and the interchange, as of now, you'll have no part with that.
Correct.
All right. And I know there was talked about there will need to be some other lane widening projects with the Panthers facility.
Yep, that's, again, some improvements on Mount Gallant Road, the possibility of a five-lane road, whereas our project is a three-lane road. So, again, that's what we've been meeting with them and talking with them about, and try to determine the best way to make that happen.
And for now, that's just kind of wait and see. We talked about South Carolina 160 earlier in the show and how that project is moving along quite nicely and
yes,
things are going well. But for every good on the scale, it seems mm-hmm. to balance itself out. Pole Branch Road is kind of having some trouble.
Pole Branch Road 274, I hate to sound like a broken record, but there have been some substantial utility delays on that project. Currently, Pole Branch Road is closed between Highway 274 and Fuel Road. There's a couple of bridges in there that need to be replaced. Also, that section of roadway was very hilly, a lot of vertical curves and sags, so it was a lot of up and down. So we're going to try to cut those high points down, raise those low points up to make it more of a smooth ride instead of like a roller coaster. But again, we talked about 160. It's actually the same contractor on Pole Branch as on 160. It's the same superintendent, a lot of the same crews. But one project is essentially ahead of schedule, going along with minimal issues. And then you have Pole Branch Road that's behind. Utility delays is the main reason for that. And that's, I've heard a lot of people try to bash the contractor. And, I'll defend the contractor in this case. He's gone out of his way to help us. Working other places than how he, because when a contractor bids a job, they bid the job based on a schedule that's laid out in the plans, a phasing plan. So they bid it a certain way. Well, when the utilities prevent him from following that phasing plan, he has to audible and go a different route, which is not how he bid the project. So he's been working with us to be able to find other locations to work while the utilities have been causing delays on that project.
And when you say utilities, just really quickly, you mean like maybe the water line isn't where it's supposed to be?
Water line, or, well, most of the stuff we know what needs to be done. It's just a matter of sometimes we have difficulty getting that utility company on site to relocate their items as quickly as we would like them to.
And now the people's question, do you have a timeline, or is it just waiting until the utilities are done?
You really have to wait until the utilities are done. Then the contractor will submit a newly revised completion date for the project based on the delays he encountered from the utility company. We'll review that, and we will basically negotiate that completion date at that time.
What other projects am I missing? What resurfacing projects?
Sure,
am I getting some of those?
Penny's Four resurfacing projects. There's been a good bit of work done throughout the county this year, and this winter we're going to bid out another 34 miles of resurfacing projects that were just on the Penny's Four. It's going to be three separate contracts, essentially. But the resurfacing has come a long way. We are doing a little bit ahead of schedule on that one as well from when we first started Penny's Four. So the majority of those projects, I think all but one road, is scheduled to be finished by the end of 2020. So that's another thing, another reason we wanted to get those projects out of the gate so the public can see stuff happening. Cherry Road was a Penny's Four resurfacing project, and here it should be finished up here shortly. So the resurfacing is a project. There's no utility relocations involved. There's no right-of-way acquisition needed. So those are ones where you can really get in there and get started much quicker than a normal project.
And so you'll have those resurfacing projects, and I know you guys are still waiting to hear back from the State Infrastructure Bank Board. They had to deal with some lawsuits. They're now working through projects, and you guys expect to hear back in January?
January is what we were told. So the county submitted an application to the State Infrastructure Bank requesting $125 million. And that money would be used to redo the interchanges on I-77 at Celanese and Cherry, which is exit 82, exit 85, 160, and exit 90, which is Carowinds Boulevard. So, you know, we're hopeful that we'll get some funding back for it. We'd like to get all of it. That would be nice. So right now we're playing the waiting game, and hopefully January we should hear something back from them.
And I know this isn't something that directly affects you, but once the county hears back from the SIB, what are the next steps? What will happen?
Typically, since it is an interchange project, we would look for the DOT to manage those projects. Whatever funding we get, the county does have a part in the funding. So in order to request money from the SIB, you have to have a local match, cash to put up. The county has to put up our own money to go towards each project. So we will have some funding involved with it, but the DOT would be the ones who would be actually managing the design and the project itself.
And moving forward, lastly, as you work through Penny's 4 and you look towards a Penny's 5, I know discussions have been had about light rail, and Manning always sits in the seat and he says, I think we should put forth a nickel or a dime. Is that in the works? How do you guys put together maybe a Penny's 5, or is that happening?
Well, if it would be in addition to a penny, I think that may require a state law change, because
right
now it's a 1% sales tax. You would need, a 2%, 3%, or a 5%.
Let me ask it this way. Is the county growing in a way where that might be something that is beneficial to try?
I think so. I mean, if you look at the last 22 years, the pennies program, I feel like it's been pretty successful within the county, continuing to get voted in by the citizens. I've had other citizens come up to me and talk about, it needs to be 2 cents or a nickel. And Penny's 4 is projected to generate $278 million. That's off of 1%. So if you make that 2%, or 3%, and you can get close to $1 billion pretty quick. Of course, that's an additional tax on the citizens. But that's something that I'm sure will be thrown around as we get closer to the pennies, potentially a Penny's 5 referendum.
And is that something you guys are already working on? Or
not yet. I would imagine sometime in the latter part of 2022, the commission, because the projects are selected by a 6-member citizen group. So those members are appointed by the York County Council, the Rock Hill City Council, and the other municipalities. So probably in late 2022 is when that board will probably get put together, and then they'll start trying to put some project lists together, and having meetings in 2023 is an anticipated schedule at this point.
Anything I'm missing or anything you'd like to add?
Again, just patience from the public. We understand the urgency. On Cherry Road and Pole Branch, I get the phone calls, but I'd much rather get a phone call about people complaining about, being stuck in traffic and the construction's taking too long than complaining about, when is construction going to start? Nothing's happening. So at least we are underway on a lot of these projects. 2020 should be a very busy year for us. I mentioned all the resurfacing projects we have. There's a few other projects going out to bid as well. And last thing, our website, penniesforprogress.net, there's a lot of useful information on there.
And real quickly, remind people when Cherry Road's supposed to be done again.
Hopefully in second week of December.
Second week of December, that's what we're hoping
Weather
for.
Permitting.
Weather permitting. Well, thank you, Patrick, for joining us today. Today's Straight Talk was brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. And, of course, we broadcast live across the street from Winthrop University at Substation 2 with fresh subs and salads sliced every day right before your eyes. And how was it done? Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.